Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. We got a special program today. This is National Hospice Month, if you're not aware. And we usually try to have a program talking about hospice every year during National Hospice Month. Full disclosure, my wife is a hospice nurse, has been for a number of years, and so, and of course, both of my parents have been the recipients of hospice services, and so I feel very strongly about hospice, and properly used, I think it's a tremendous asset, and so we're going to be talking about that today. I have special guest in the studio today. I have Michael Tripodi. He's the community liaison for Grace Hospice, and he is going to be chatting with us today about this. Mike Tripodi, welcome to the program today.
Well, thanks, Pastor Al. It's nice to be here. I appreciate you inviting me back. I'm a huge advocate for providing information and education about hospice services, so happy to be part of the program.
Well, and you've been with us before, and we've always had a good time talking about this subject, and before we get lost in conversation, tell people how they can find out how to contact you if they've got questions that come up.
Well, Grace Hospice serves all of Northeast Ohio. We have offices in Akron, Cleveland, and Youngstown, so we cover all of Northeast Ohio. In fact, we have a Toledo office as well. But they can call 330-899-0180, and that rings into the Akron office. If they have a loved one that needs care in the Cleveland or Youngstown area, we can direct them to the right number for those locations as well. But calling the 330-899-0180 is kind of the clearinghouse central location. The Akron office can help direct people to the right numbers.
All right. We'll give out those numbers again before the program closes. But glad to have you on. Happy Thanksgiving to you as
Thank
well.
You. Appreciate it.
You know, a lot of people don't think about this, but my wife has been involved in long-term care for many years and in hospice for many years. And this time of year, a lot of people don't like to think about this, but this is kind of a crucial time, isn't it, for people who are dealing with terminal illnesses, long-term illnesses and things in the hospice industry?
Well, it is, and, you know, it's death and dying. It's part of life's normal cycle, and it knows no limits, so it's a year-round 24/7 endeavor, just like traditional healthcare. But we do find that there tends to be a little bit of an increase in the volume of business as we enter the winter months and over the holiday season. And, you know, we like to view hospice as a gift of comfort that you can offer your loved one when the time is right and the time is necessary.
Well, and when we talk about something that we're offering to a loved one at the right time, there's a lot of misconceptions about hospice out there. And I think I've shared before, when my wife first considered many years ago working for a hospice service, I remember my mother-in-law saying something to the effect of, why would you want to do that? People go to hospice and then they're dead.
Well, and there's an element of truth in that. And I just had this conversation with a family 2 days ago, and actually it was yesterday, and I told them, the term end of life has a little bit of a broad meaning. It doesn't mean it's the final few days. It doesn't mean necessarily it's the last couple of weeks. End of life refers to a prognosis in which you're likely to get worse instead of better over time, but we don't have a crystal ball, so we don't know when that's going to happen. Medicare has a guideline that says if the disease runs its normal course, the life expectancy is probably 6 months or less. Mm-hmm. But that being said, we bring patients on service, Pastor Al, that we care for 6 months, 9 months, a year, sometimes a year and a half. It just depends on their individual journey. And studies have shown that with the support of the hospice team, most patients actually live a little longer than they would otherwise. Not in terms of years, but in terms of a few extra weeks or a couple extra months.
I agree with that because, like I said, both of my parents have been on hospice in the past, and my mom was on hospice for about a year and a half, and her doctor said, had she not been on hospice, she wouldn't have lasted, she wouldn't have lived as long as she did. And not only that, she was able to spend her last year and a half at home with family and doing things as she was able up until virtually the very end. It wasn't until very end that she was more restricted, but much different scenario than what the doctor said would have happened had she gone the traditional go to the hospital for every little thing. In fact, he told us one time, she won't survive another trip to the hospital.
Yeah, and that's often the case, and I tell folks when I meet with them, you can go back and forth to the hospital like a ping pong ball, but they can't fix what's wrong. Ultimately, mm-hmm. you have a condition that they can't fix. So the majority of people, if they understand that the prognosis is poor, they want to be at home in familiar surroundings with loved ones nearby and focus on quality of life, maintaining their respect and dignity. That's another one of the common misperceptions, Pastor Al. Hospice isn't a place that you have to go for the final few days. The overwhelming majority of patients stay right in the comfort of their home, and they have all the services brought to them with the staff members, the equipment, the supplies, the medications, etc. And we basically allow nature to run its course with the help of our team, and the hospice nurses are available 24 hours a day, so families have peace of mind knowing if they have a concern, a question, a problem, it doesn't matter if it's the middle of the night, the weekend, a holiday, we're just a phone call away, and we typically respond within the hour.
And, you know, that something that I've noticed, I think, and this is from an outsider looking in, of course, you know, my wife is a hospice nurse, and I've done some volunteer work with hospices before, but from my perspective, I've seen where people wait too long. They think that we got to wait until the absolute end. And I think in the case of my dad, when he was on hospice, he was on for about 6 months, and he was literally active, going places, driving himself places, all the way up until probably about 2-3 days before he passed. And he was on hospice during that time. And so what would a typical hospice, I don't know if you can say typical hospice patient situation sort of be? Do they have to wait until they're just bedridden, or what would be the case?
Well, no, that's not necessarily the case. So it depends on the diagnosis and what contributes to that. There are a couple of factors that come into play. So the patient and or the family have to reach a level of acceptance mm-hmm. and understanding that this prognosis is terminal. They're right. not likely to get better. Sometimes it's the doctor. Sometimes the doctor doesn't make the referral to hospice in a timely manner. It's kind of contrary to the Hippocratic Oath. Doctors are trained to heal, cure, and fix everything. And some doctors, either lack of education and understanding or just unwilling to acknowledge there's nothing more that they can do, when in fact what they can do is make a timely referral to hospice so that the mm-hmm. patient can get the care that they need. And the truth is that sooner we get involved, the more helpful we can be. Medicare has guidelines, so Medicare and Medicaid pay 100% for hospice care. There's no copay, deductible, out-of-pocket expense. But Medicare has a built-in checks and balances, if you will. A patient is admitted to service because they're clinically eligible and appropriate. They get reevaluated after 3 months. They get reevaluated after 6 months. And then they continually get reevaluated every 60 days, which allows for the extended length of stay. Mm-hmm. And in rare instances, patients will stabilize or improve, and they can come off of hospice. But more often than not, they stay on service from the time they're admitted up until the time they take their final breath and make that transition.
And, you know, when you think about this, too, you brought up some good points there in terms of the payment of the cost and things like that. But a lot of Christians in particular almost balk at the idea of hospice because they're thinking of the idea, you know, I mean, we should be doing everything. I actually heard somebody say one time, you should do everything possible to keep somebody breathing as long as possible. It's up to God when they take their last breath. And I understand the sentiment, and we know that God gives us life, but we also know that death is a very real part of what we deal with. And this is something that I've seen happening with hospice and something I've had the opportunity to do myself, is the idea of recognizing that an illness is terminal and that there's really nothing more the doctors can do. And so then taking the time to make somebody comfortable, it's not just the patient, it's the family members. And as a pastor doing some volunteer work with hospice, I've had opportunity to provide spiritual comfort and direction, answer questions about what happens after somebody passes. And it's a great ministry, I think, for people of faith. But at the same time, you offer a variety of services, not just merely medical, don't you, that helps the family as well as the patient understand what's happening.
No, you're exactly right, and that's a good point to bring up because we treat the patient and the family as a unit, and we have an interdisciplinary team, and by that I mean we have the registered nurse that goes out on a weekly basis, sometimes two or three times a week for medication management, physical assessment, etc. We offer home health aid services that provide personal care and hygiene assistance. We offer a social worker. We offer a chaplain for spiritual support. And we have volunteers as well that can help offer support to the patient and the family. So it's a comprehensive team approach. And we recognize that this is a very difficult journey, not only for the patient, but for the family as well. So we want to support them as we take each day that comes.
And just mention here, too, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and I have a special guest, Michael Tripodi, and he is a community liaison with Grace Hospice. And if you can give that number again real quick.
Sure, it's 330-899-0180. And we also have a Facebook page, which is Grace Hospice Akron. Or Akron Grace Hospice. I'm not sure if I got it in the right order, but you can find us on Facebook as well. And we have a website, which is ghospice.com.
All right, thank you. And we are talking about hospice. It's National Hospice Month this week. Yeah, it's all this week.
It's last week. It's next
week.
Next week.
It's all 4 weeks, but for the whole month. And we were talking about hospice. And, you know, the idea of when somebody, you know, like say, comes into a financial inheritance or something, or is getting ready to graduate from college, oftentimes, and they're facing like a job where they're going to suddenly have money to spend and know what to do with, they'll contact an investment specialist, expert, to help them plan out what to do, or perhaps somebody is planning on some business or something. They'll maybe talk to an attorney to get some help, some guidance, because they're doing something that they're not familiar with, that they've not done before, out of their comfort zone. And I kind of look at what you do with hospice kind of the same way. The average person has not dealt directly one-on-one with death.
Right.
They really haven't. You know, we sent it away to the hospital, to the nursing facility or something. And many years ago, generations ago, people used to be in the home and everybody was a part of what was happening. And so I look at hospice today as kind of filling that expertise for people who don't know what's coming. They don't know what to expect. They've not been down this road before. They're not sure. And you guys are able to come in and provide a wealth of expertise.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, Pastor Al, because you're absolutely right. Historically, many generations ago, it was very common to pass away at home. In fact, you know as well as I do, in the olden days, the doctor used to come to the house.
Mm-hmm.
But then in recent decades, we've shifted away from that after the Industrial Revolution and the healthcare boom. So everybody's going to the hospital, everybody's going to nursing homes. Far too many people pass away at the hospital when that can be avoided. And if you have a terminal prognosis, if you have a diagnosis that's not going to get better, most people would prefer to be in familiar surroundings with loved ones and just focus on their quality of life. It's important to maintain their respect and their dignity, keep them comfortable, but give them the opportunity to enjoy what time they have left, whether it's days, weeks, or months.
And also, when you're thinking about this, I was thinking as you're talking, the ages of people on hospice, of course, vary, but probably the large percentage might be older. And when you think of an older person, a family member, And they've lived perhaps in their house for many years, and a lot of memories there. And just think about it. How much more comfortable to be in a familiar surroundings. You're looking out the window at the view that you've enjoyed for years, and perhaps family pets are there. You hear the familiar sounds of your neighborhood, and family and friends and neighbors are able to come and visit anytime, as opposed to the more cold, sterile hospital room with the mechanical sounds that the people don't know what it is. It's kind of almost frightening to some people, and you're looking out a window, and if you got one, and you look at a brick wall across the way or something, or you're looking across to the other wing, and it's just nothing familiar, nothing comfortable. It's hard for people to come in, especially today, for people to come in and visit you. You just think in the face of it, you know, the ability to be able to be at home with family and friends, and also your church family as a pastor. I put that in there because your pastor can come and visit, church family members can come and visit, and you compare the two. It's just that, to me, is no comparison.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more, and you brought up a very good point. Because of everything that we've gone through these past couple of years, the hospital, the nursing facility have very tight restrictions on visitation, and I've actually had instances where a patient is essentially taking their final breaths while the loved one stands outside the window because they wouldn't allow the daughter mm-hmm. into the nursing facility to say her goodbyes or to offer a gentle touch, and it was heartbreaking.
Yes.
The daughter was in tears and spent days outside the window knowing that the time was drawing near. So if you have the opportunity to be at home, there are no restrictions on visitation. You can take care of unfinished business. You can tie up loose ends. You can see the people that are important to see. And it makes for a much more comfortable and peaceful passing, absolutely.
Yeah, and I was reading something just recently, somebody online who was a hospice nurse, and they were asked about things that they commonly heard, you know, shortly before somebody passed. And this kind of ties in what we're talking about. She said one of the most common things she heard was the person saying to her loved ones or his loved ones, "I love you."
Right.
That one last time.
Yeah. And we've had plenty of instances where a person is nearing the end of their earthly journey. They will see their departed loved ones who have passed mm-hmm. before them. And even though the rest of the family or the hospice staff can't see that individual, there's absolutely something to be said for that because they have departed loved ones who come to welcome them and greet them and assist them with that transition from the earthly world.
Well, and I've often thought as a pastor, because I've been at the bed of people who have passed, and I remember one guy in particular going, "Can't you hear the music? It's so beautiful." And I've heard other people, you know, almost sit up and say, "Oh, there's my mom," or "there's my aunt," or something. And I've often thought that at that time, God, in a sense, opens the veil a little bit to assist with people that are passing from this life into the next. And so that is kind of an interesting thing. But something I wanted to ask, too, before we run out of time, because the time goes quickly
sure.
here. We're going to be quickly running out here. If somebody was considering, is hospice for me or for my family member, what do you think the first steps should be?
Well, I think just simply making that phone call, and like you alluded to earlier, if you come into a sudden inheritance, it's very common to call an investment advisor and consider options. I provide information free of charge, no obligation, no pressure. I just like educating people about hospice, what it is, how it can help. Even if the time isn't right now, it could be in several weeks or several months down the road. And if you have that foundation of knowledge, mm-hmm. it makes you better prepared to address those choices when it becomes necessary. So folks are welcome to call the office 330-899-0180 at any time. I've been out to meet with patients and families in the evening, on the weekend. I do it at their convenience. I have a nice folder of literature that helps answer some of the most common questions. And equally as important, it helps dispel some of the common myths about hospice mm-hmm. care. And it's just a great starting point, I guess, for an eventual need.
And of course, with that, you'll be able to provide them the contacts that they may need, which actually, having mentioned that, brings up another thing. A lot of times people don't know who they need to contact when they're contemplating, what do I do when my family member or myself, when I know that the end of my life is approaching or the end of their life is approaching. A lot of people get confused and get overwhelmed with, what do I do about nursing homes? What do I do about, is my will in order? What should I do to make provision for this, that, or the other? And you help with those things, don't you?
Yeah, we're able to help provide guidance and direction in a number of different areas. And it's a good time to mention, patients and families have a right to choose the hospice mm-hmm. provider that they want. So oftentimes, if an individual is in the hospital, the doctor gives them, quote unquote, the bad news, they're not real forthright about offering hospice choice. Patients think that they have to use the hospital hospice provider, and that's not at all true. So we are big advocates for patient choice. Medicare has minimum guidelines for all hospice companies that receive Medicare dollars, but the level of service and the quality of care can vary dramatically from one agency to the next. So I always encourage folks to consider that. And I actually, one of the flyers I use in my informational packet talks about choosing a hospice provider, and it gives a prompt of things to consider. So we respect patient choice, and we welcome folks to interview different providers and see who's going to be the best fit for them.
And I appreciate that. And like I said, I can do this because it's my program. I recommend Grace Hospice. I know a few people who work there, you know. So
well, and
I will give my recommendation to
you. And I'll just share this with you, Pastor Al, because this wasn't the case when we did this last year. But I work out of the Akron office, and we cover several different counties. Our patient satisfaction scores exceed the state and national average in every category that's measured. It's a fact that we're very proud of, and it's validation and affirmation that we're blessed to have a good, solid team that provides exceptional care. And my colleague, who's been in hospice leadership for 20 years, says to me, Mike, I've never had scores even close to this high. Mm. So we're very proud of that fact, that we get word-of-mouth referrals. Families that we've helped are referring their friends, their neighbors, their other relatives to us for quality care.
And let me touch on something else. We've been talking mostly about the people who are on the receiving end of hospice service, but maybe there's somebody who's in healthcare that thinks that, you know, I've thought about getting involved in hospice. I remember my wife was in long-term care, and she had several people who had worked with her and gone into hospice, and they kept telling her, you'd be a natural for this. You really ought to consider this. If there's somebody in healthcare that's considering or interested in this, is there openings?
Yeah, well, in this day and age,
in general, how is it easy to get into, or is it
in this day and age? You know, staffing is an issue everywhere. We have been fortunate with our staff to have some stability, but yeah, from time to time we have openings for registered nurses, LPNs, mm-hmm. Hospice aides, etc. Grace Hospice is part of U.S. Medical Management. That's the parent company. So we have Visiting Physician Association is our sister organization. We have a traditional home health, which is Pinnacle Senior Care. But USMM has a website, and it has career opportunities for all of the different divisions within that umbrella company. We also have a medical equipment company. So all of those positions are posted on the USMM website under the careers tab.
So there are opportunities if somebody's listening and they think, I'd kind of like to get involved in this
sure.
for employment. And, of course, certainly you've got openings for people who might want the services. Right. We've been talking with Michael Tripodi, the community liaison for Grace Hospice, and we got just a few seconds left. Give out your information again, if you would, please.
Sure. It's 330-899-0180 is the local number. We can put you in touch with the Cleveland or Youngstown office if necessary. We have a website, ghospice.com, or you can see us on Facebook at Akron Grace Hospice.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael, for being with us today. Happy Hospice Month. We're out of time. Thanks for listening, and God bless. Have a great Thanksgiving. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. God bless.
Thanks, Pastor Al.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.